The Old Testament lesson today is 1 Samuel chapter 2, I'm sorry, chapter 21, verses 1 to 6. David went to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he met him and asked, "Why are you alone? Why is no one with you?" David answered Ahimelech the priest, "The king sent me on a mission and said to me, 'No one is to know anything about the mission I am sending you on. As for my men, I have told them to meet me at a certain place. Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever you can find.' But the priest answered David, 'I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women.' David replied, 'Indeed, women have been kept from us, as usual, whenever I set out. The men's bodies are holy, even on missions that are not holy. How much more so today?' So the priest gave him the consecrated bread, since there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed from before the Lord and replaced by hot bread on the day it was taken away." The New Testament lesson this morning is Mark 2, chapter 23 to Mark 3, Mark chapter 3, verse 6. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for David and for Jesus and for the many people we find doing their best to do what's right in our scriptures and outside of them as well. We pray that through your words we would hear the message you have for us today. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and salvation. Amen. So this week, as I sometimes do, I often get requests from various people to consider supporting a certain organization or otherwise. And I received one this week supporting a cause that I wasn't sure whether I wanted to support or not. And so I started looking into the organization behind this event. And I'm looking through their website, reading a little bit about who they are and what they do, and growing surprised. And then I'm like, what is going on here? And I realized I had gone to their website expecting and looking to find something not right. I wasn't sure that I supported what they were doing, so I went to their website with a presumption that I was going to find something that I wasn't going to like. And I was like, well, that's a problem. That's a problem. And I need to be aware of that. Conversely, I remember recently hearing a story, a negative story, about somebody who I liked and admired. And my first response to hearing that story was, surely there must be more to this than is being shared. It's hard. It's really hard for me to believe someone I like and admire has done something bad, just like it's really easy for me to imagine somebody who supports something I disagree with might not be on the up and up. I don't know if you've ever had this experience before, but it does seem that in our world, it's becoming more and more true that if somebody disagrees with us about something, we presume negative things about them. I was at a training seminar a couple weeks ago talking about preaching in the age of polarization. And it was directed mostly towards American pastors, but everyone was invited to come. And they were talking specifically there about political divide. And they were saying that they were studying how people view supporters of the opposite party, because of course they only have two main parties in the States, in terms of how likely they were to say that someone who supported the other party was more dishonest, less intelligent, than the average person. And in the last, they did two surveys, one in 2016, one in 2022, and then the proportion of who would agree with that statement, someone who supports the other party is more dishonest than the average person, had gone up. In some cases, up to 70 or 80% of people from one political party assumed that people from the other were more dishonest, were less intelligent. There's this growing sense that if you disagree with me, there must be something wrong with you, as opposed to if you disagree with me, you disagree with me, right? Hopefully, we're trying to resist that trend, but it does come to us to answer this question or to ask this question, how do we decide who we listen to and who we follow? Because there are a lot of voices in this world that are trying to get our attention. Politicians and celebrities and leaders from various organizations hoping we'll support them in one way or another. How do we decide who to listen to? One option, and an option that many people choose today, I think, is simply to follow the leaders who align with our own sense of right and wrong. Right? If a leader says some stuff we agree with, then we're more likely to follow them and continue to follow them. But when they say something we disagree with, we're more likely to turn around and walk the other way. And if somebody says something, asserts something's true, and they talk in ways that doesn't align, we're more likely to distrust them. I remember my first awareness of politics in Canada was in the 90s. Sort of at the tail end of the Bob Rae provincial government and then into the conservative Mike Harris provincial government. And I know people who to this day will not vote in any election for any NDP candidate because Bob Rae was the premier and they didn't like what he did in the early 90s. I know people who would say the same about the Conservative Party, who would never vote for the Conservative Party in any election, in any place, because of the decisions that Mike Harris made in the mid to late 90s. My friends, both of those things happened more than 20 years ago. 25 to 30 years ago, those things were happening in a province that looks vastly different from what it does today. But we have long memories, many of us. And once something happens that we don't agree with, we like to discard it and put it away. So my question is, as Christians, do we have another option than simply following the people who say things we like to hear? And so we come to our continuing saga in the story of Mark. And we're not even quite out of the second chapter yet, and already a lot has happened. We've heard all about all these healing stories that Jesus has been doing, and now what we're seeing in more of chapter 2 into chapter 3 is all of the opposition that's appearing. And so we hear two examples of stories where the religious leaders are opposing what Jesus is doing because he's not towing the party line, shall we say. He is not being a good rabbi in terms of what he's having his followers do. And the first example of this is his followers picking grains out of the field on the Sabbath. So you were allowed, as any person walking through any field, through Jewish law, to pick seeds for your own consumption. As long as you didn't use a tool to cut it down if it wasn't your own land, and as long as you didn't use a basket to collect more for later, you were allowed to pick grains from any field and eat them. But the Pharisees called that harvesting. And that was forbidden on the Sabbath. When I was talking to the kids, this is an example of one of those laws that isn't written directly in Scripture. It's an interpretation and an additional clarification that Pharisees have added later. And their approach is, well, if your disciples weren't thinking well enough to prepare their meals yesterday, today they go hungry. That is the consequence of not preparing properly for the Sabbath. And Jesus says, look, they're hungry. Let them eat. It's ridiculous to force them to be hungry. Now, they're not talking about making a giant meal and working really hard and preparing all this stuff. They're literally picking. It's like going strawberry picking, picking the strawberries and popping them in your mouth, right? And Jesus points to David. He says, look, even in our own stories, even in our own heroes that we lift up, this man David, who was a man after God's own heart, that's how he's described in 1 Samuel, did something that you would say is forbidden so that he could eat. And David's story is a bit complicated because he actually, you don't see it in what we read, but he actually lies to the priest. He is not on a secret mission for the king. He's fleeing from the king because the king is trying to kill him. But of course, if he tells that to the priest is never going to help him. So he actually lies to the priest, convinces the priest to give him bread that only the priests are supposed to eat, and off he goes. And yet, Scripture never gets mad at him for that. He does not get in trouble. He does not get spoken to by a prophet. He does not hear the word, the voice of God, getting upset at him for doing this, for lying to a priest and for taking this bread, because of his circumstances. He was running from Saul. His life was in danger. He and his people were hungry. And so God didn't see any problem with David going and eating the bread he shouldn't eat. And Jesus says, look, if we can still hold up David as an icon of one of God's chosen, and he did this and didn't get in trouble, what is wrong with my people doing the same? Strangely enough, the Pharisees didn't like that answer, right? Their rules weren't arbitrary. We can argue that they were perhaps unnecessarily strict, but they weren't arbitrary. They were honestly trying to help people follow God's law, to follow God's rule. And that in itself isn't the problem. The problem is when they enforce it to the extent that it starts to cause harm. It starts to needlessly cause people to go hungry or to go unhealed, as we'll see in our next story. Because our second story builds on the first. So if you had seen Jesus do a bunch of miracles, what would you be looking for when you're talking to Jesus or when you're watching him? Would you like to see more of those miracles happen? Perhaps hear a little bit about why he seems to be able to do these things? But the Pharisees, like me with that website I was searching on, they're looking for the flaw. They're looking for the way that they can persecute Jesus. And so they're watching him closely, not to see if God is working in him, but to catch him breaking the law again. And so they're watching closely to see if he's going to heal on the sly on the Sabbath. But Jesus doesn't do anything on the sly. He's not ashamed of his behavior. He knows that he's following the one who sent him. And so, he calls the man with the shriveled hand up to the front. He's like, really, you want to watch me closely? Just be in the room. Here's the guy. And he asks the most wonderful question. Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? That's not the question the Pharisees ask. The question the Pharisees ask is, what level of activity is permitted on the Sabbath? I can walk this distance, but no further. I can eat this food that was prepared yesterday, but I cannot prepare more. Their laws, their rules were about clear places of what you can do, what actions you can do, and what actions you cannot. But Jesus asks a different question. When you're thinking about what you can do on the Sabbath, is this good or is this evil? Does this bring life or does this lead to death? Those are the questions he wants us to ask on the Sabbath. Now, hopefully none of you are planning to commit murder on any day of the week, certainly not on the Sabbath, but we can think about this figuratively too. What activity brings us life, brings us energy, brings us joy, allows us to worship more freely and more deeply? What activity leads us to tiredness and exhaustion and weariness and maybe even feeling disillusioned with our faith or with our walk with God? We want to do the first and not the second on our Sabbath days. Jesus is asking us to evaluate in a different way than the Pharisees were. And at some level, the Pharisees are right. Jesus did allow his disciples to harvest. Jesus did work on the Sabbath, although he only spoke, right? He didn't create a poultice. He didn't like gather things. He didn't even really, as far as we know, wave his hands over the man's arms. He simply spoke. Stick your hand out of your sleeve, and it was fixed. You can speak on the Sabbath. But he did kind of do work, because obviously something happened and the man was healed. But Jesus thinks that perhaps God's intention in the rule might be more important than the way the Pharisees have laid those rules out. Now, today it's easy for us to take Jesus' side. Who else's side are you going to take if you follow Jesus? It's easy for us to think bad about the Pharisees because we've been trained, if you've grown up in church, that the Pharisees are bad, right? They were the ones who opposed Jesus. It's easy for us to think poorly of them. But we can think about this and maybe try to apply it to those voices that we hear that are not so cut and dry, good and bad. The politician that is giving a news brief or talking about a new bill that is coming. A newscaster that's talking about what's going on in our city. a charismatic celebrity that's talking about their ideas of what's right and wrong in the world, a trusted mentor who's trying to help guide where we are to go next in our career or our schooling. How do we evaluate their advice? How do we know which voices to listen to? I'm going to give you a couple things that we can think about as we think about those things, because the reality is nobody gives all bad advice, and nobody gives all good advice, myself included. So feel free to apply this to me too, as you listen to me. When we hear what people are inviting us to do or think we should do, how does it compare with what we read in Scripture, if we can find a story that's directly comparable? Imagine Jesus was in the room with you as you hear this advice. What do you think he would say? How do you think he would react to the course of action that you are thinking about taking? Do these suggestions lead to life or to death? Do they allow us to love better, share grace more freely, permit good rhythms of work and rest? Or are they going to lead us to being more weary and more cynical and have more difficulty in navigating this world? God wants us to follow him. He doesn't want to make it difficult. We often want to make it difficult because we don't want to do what God wants us to do, and so we come up with all sorts of mental gymnastics to avoid it. But God wants us to hear his will for our lives. But we have to choose to think about it and to pray about it and to think deeply about what God is calling us to do. Who are we listening to when we decide how to live in this world? If we aren't aligned with Jesus, then perhaps we need to realign as we move forward. And of course, the good news is always that God always has more grace. Grace without bounds and love without limit. So that when we mess up, because we always make mistakes, God is right there with an arm around the shoulder and a finger in the direction we are intended to go. We can always get back on our path, friends. But if we listen for Jesus, perhaps we can not stray quite so often. Let us pray. Gracious God, you know that we misstep a lot. We make mistakes, we get led astray by strong voices. Help us to realign with you, to make our decisions based on what will lead to life eternal, which is what you wish for us. Help us to make decisions that allow us to make known your kingdom and your love and your grace. And thank you for inviting us back in every time we stray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.